A brethren minister was in her office. A knock came at the door, and a man came in, somebody she didn't know, hadn't seen before. She invited him to sit down. She could see he was distraught. And she asked how she could serve him, and he said, "Well, my dog has died." "I know it sounds silly," he said, "but my dog was 10 years old and was my best friend. And I'm looking for a pastor who will do a funeral for the dog." She didn't want to offend him and didn't want to let him down too fast. And she really struggled theologically with how she felt about it. She finally said to him, "Sir, I've never been asked to do a funeral for a dog, and I don't think we do that here." He stood up, he said, "Yeah, I know. That's what two pastors have already told me." He started to walk out, and he said, "The thing is, I was willing to make a $1,000 contribution to the church who will do the service." She stood up, went over and shook his hand and said, "Why didn't you say it was a brethren dog?" Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child. Oh, a long way from home. If Jesus had a newspaper back in his day, and if he looked at the classifieds, he might have seen an ad that looked something like this: "Help wanted, collections supervisor, experience in management required, self-starter, willing to take risks, commission-based income, flexible hours, broad shoulders optional. You want to apply?" Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone, way up in a heavenly land. I want to talk to us this morning about Zacchaeus and the story of Zacchaeus. The first thing that impresses me about Zacchaeus is that it takes place in the town of Jericho. You know Jericho, don't you? Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down. That was old Jericho. That was Jericho of the Old Testament. That's the town of Jericho, all right. But it isn't the old Jericho. It's the new Jericho. It's the Jericho that Herod the Great bought and paid for from Caesar Augustus, which he developed this elaborate building program and recreated it and turned it into something that it wasn't, including a place where he had his winter palace. His winter palace. Jericho was a royal city. Jericho was a place of taxes. It was a place of tolls. It was a place of fines. It was, in many respects, Washington, D.C. It was. And Zacchaeus worked for the Internal Revenue Service. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. Now, I did a little research about tax collectors in those days, and I found out that tax collectors in those days were Hebrews who worked for Rome. They weren't Romans who worked for Rome. They were Hebrews who worked for Rome. And I'll tell you why in just a minute. They were Hebrews that worked for Rome. They were viewed, because they were Jews who worked for the Romans, they were viewed as traitors. They weren't elected to the job. They bid for the job. They bid for the job, and they had to have enough personal capital on them that they could pay the Romans for the entire year's tax of the territory they represented. Then they collected the taxes and they paid themselves back. You got that? They had to spend all of their money up front to pay for their territory. Then they collected the taxes and paid for themselves back. And they tacked on personal fees, and they tacked on fines, and they levied tariffs, and they did all of this wonderful stuff. They made up stuff. They made up stuff. You owe the king's tax for this. You owe the emperor's tax for that. Made it up just so they could make money off the deal. And oh, could they be ruthless if you didn't pay? Very ruthless. They did not deal kindly with the people who weren't cooperative. Why, they even blackmailed their own family. And they took the poor class, which was the largest class of people, on the brink of poverty and literally made them slaves. That's why they were hated. That's why the Romans didn't have their own tax collectors. Better that Jews hate Jews than Jews hate Romans. Interesting. They were very hated. The attitude toward a tax collector was, if he were on fire, I wouldn't even spit on him to put him out. And that hatred certainly had to turn inward. Still want to sign up? I don't. Well, what made matters worse is that Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Nowhere else in the Bible is that word used, chief tax collector, except here. And what it means is he was good at what he did. He had a reputation and it preceded him. What it means is he was so good at what he did and made so much money at what he did, he had a staff. And the staff went out and levied more fines and taxes on these unsuspecting, powerless people. Made him very rich, put him in the upper echelon of a very, very, very small group of people. And that's why he was hated so much. I just want to say this, and I'm done with the Bible study part. But as a tax collector, Zacchaeus and all people of his ilk were outsiders. They were outside of the community hated them. They were outside of the church hated them. They were outside of their family hated them. They were nothing more than a butt of jokes and cruel comments. They were cheats, liars, white-collar criminals. I said upstairs, politicians, really, is what they were. One day, Jesus came through Jericho. He had healed Bartimaeus on the outside of town, and that got him some notice. And he was on his way through Jericho, on his way to Jerusalem. And I have always seen this idea of Jesus going through Jerusalem as kind of a parade, okay? He heals a guy, Bartimaeus. He's got notoriety already. People have heard of Jesus. He walks through this town, and it's kind of a parade, a spontaneous parade. It's kind of a pre-Palm Sunday, okay? The problem is, the scripture says that Zacchaeus was short in stature. He couldn't see the parade route because of how high he was. I resemble that remark. You know what he did? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Savior went that way, he looked up in the tree and he said,
Zacchaeus, you come down.
'Cause I'm going to your house today, and I'm going to your house today. He was short in stature, and he climbed up in a sycamore tree, which was really a sycamore fig tree, not like our sycamore trees, more like our mulberry trees. The sycamore fig was related to the mulberry. Had a stocky trunk, and it had long, thick limbs, made it great for climbing. And he went up there because he was short in stature. What that really means is not so much that he was short. It means he was so small in the eyes of the other parade goers. So small. When Jesus came to town, Zacchaeus wasn't feeling the love. I read this story. It took place. You know, there's a lot of people don't feel the love. You just wonder sometimes how desperate people are for somebody to love. A guy named Dan Baber put his mother, Sue Hamilton, on auction on eBay. He did. And he billed her as the best mother in the world. And he put her on auction for eBay. This is a true story. And the idea was, if you bid on his mother and you had the highest bid, what she would do for you is she would send you a personal email, a personal email directly to you to tell you and to make you feel that you were loved, that you were the most special person on earth. And that's how he built this auction, okay? It was on the auction block for 7 days. And in that 7 days' time, 43,000 people viewed it. Enough to fill a major baseball stadium. 43,000 people. Of the 43,000 people, 92 people bid on her. 92. The lowest bid was $1. That was the opening bid. And she went, in the 7 days, for $601. Somebody bid $601 for Sue Hamilton to send them an email to tell them they were loved and to make them feel that they were the most special person on earth. What most mothers, not all mothers, most mothers would do for free. Isn't it interesting that some people feel that bad about themselves? They'd pay $600 to feel loved. Sometimes I feel like a motherless child, just a long, long way from home. When Jesus came to town, Zacchaeus wasn't feeling the love until Jesus comes right to that sycamore fig tree where Zacchaeus is, stops right underneath it, looks up, sees him, and says, "What you sang, Zacchaeus, come down, because I need to meet with you in your house today." Essentially, you and I need to talk. Now, we don't know what they talked about. They could have, if I were a social justice pastor, talked about economic profiling in the poor. They could have, if I was a fundamentalist pastor, talked about how difficult it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Maybe. We don't know what they talked about. All we know is what Jesus said of himself in verse 10, his mission statement: "I have come to seek and to save the lost." Our church has this mission statement we've preached on the past 4 weeks. You know, we are a family of God, growing in Christ, empowered to serve. Mission statements are always short and sweet and to the point. Jesus had a mission statement: "I've come to seek and to save the lost," which basically means I've come to seek your soul and to save your soul, and I have come to be in relationship with you. Anytime Jesus comes, his primary concern is about your soul, and his primary concern is that you can get rid of the crud that you're feeling in your life, get rid of this crappy guilt feeling that you feel in your life, get rid of this exhaustion that you're feeling in your life, and I can see it on some of your faces, and be in relationship with him. That's what he wants. Since it's Mother's Day, let me talk about my mom. You didn't know my mom. I don't think anybody in this room, except maybe Barry Arndt, knew my mother, met my mother. My mother died 2 years before I came here. She would have liked my mother. My mother was fun. And my mother was funny. And my mother could sometimes be off color, but boy, was she a hoot. In fact, my mother was afraid of what I was going to say about her at her funeral, so I had to turn it down a little bit. My mother had the amazing capacity to laugh at herself and to laugh at life. And my mother could talk to anybody. She could talk to the CEO of Volvo, and she could talk to the guy that's on the street waiting for the bus. She absolutely could talk to anybody. And my mother made it a personal mission to be in relationship with people, and she particularly loved those people who didn't want her to be in relationship with them. People who, for their relationships, were at arm's length. People who were down and outers. Oh, if you wanted to get rid of my mother by going like this, honey, that was the invitation she needed to go like this. And she did. And there weren't too many people, even the crusty ones, she couldn't win over. Not too many. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. And there aren't too many people, not even the crusty ones, he can't win over. He comes for your soul, and he comes for your relationship. And I don't know what they talked about. All I know is this. When a person feels lovable and forgiven and set loose, a person feels a change inside. And Zacchaeus said, whatever they talked about, Lord, I'll give away half my possessions to the poor. In other words, suddenly he identified with the ones he oppressed. And he said, Lord, if I've cheated anybody, which he did, I'll give him four times back what I cheated him, which was the restitution price of a thief. That's what it was. When somebody feels love and they feel lovable, suddenly there's a change. And Jesus said, I'll tell you the truth, salvation has come to this house. Because this guy is a child of Father Abraham. This guy is part of the family of God. Salvation has come to this house. Of course, the question is, what's come to your house? Huh? What's happening there? And what do you want to happen? Sometimes I feel like freedom is near. Sometimes I feel like freedom is near. Sometimes I feel like freedom. So close, so close to home. Thank you, Lord, for loving us enough not to let us go. You know what I see? I see disappointment on people's faces. They're disappointed because the things they thought they might be getting and the things they got are two different things. And oh, they want to believe and they want to love you. They want to be saved and they want to be in relationship, but who are you and what do you want? Lord, that's the kind of people, and I'm the kind of person, when I stick out my arms and stiff arm you, they're the very people that you're going to Well, as I said upstairs, and I don't think I said it here, you loved Zacchaeus so much you hunted him down. And when you hunted him down, you had him treed. You're just not going to give up in spite of our best selves and our worst selves. Thank you for a love that will not let go or end. Be with us, Lord, we pray. Amen.